All right. Well, good morning. Good morning. So before we begin, obviously it's always a good idea to pray, so that's what we'll start. So Father, we just thank you for today. We thank you for all that you've accomplished around the world. We thank you for the ability to come before you to read your word, to delve into the mystery of who you are, and to partner with you in all things. And we just ask that this time be a gleaning of more of you. And it's in your son's name we pray. Amen. All right, so the title is Hungry? What Are You Craving? And we are literally at the very last day of the month of the Fast of Feasting. So happy May 31st. And what a month this has been. Ooh, in the beginning, man, I knew this month was going to be jam-packed with life events. And then you have the spiritually amazing feats that God's been doing. And again, Father has outdone himself in this timeline of the fifth month. And so we are so very thankful for the good report that was given from Leon. I was especially encouraged by hearing of the young people that are stepping into, hearing that Amy Medopesh is there. It was just like, oh, my heart, yay. No, I haven't seen the photos, but it's so cool. Because I feel like she's one of our little that's grown up and actually stepped into ministry. And so that's super exciting. And then, of course, I've had graduations, you know, two boys in high school, one boy in middle school. And then there's been recitals and end of year concerts and, you know, awards banquets and awards ceremonies, and so it has been a very full month. And we're only in the middle of the year of grace and supplication. we still have several months to go. And yet there's so much that we can rejoice about. That train of grace is moving at a speed that we've knew was coming, but can feel and are excited to experience, but it can be overwhelming, especially when you're hit with physical delays for just trying to function. And so it makes all the things that you're doing even more challenging, because now you have to actually physically move yourself, make that choice to move with the Father. So the coming months hold no less anticipation for what the Lord continues to yield. For me, it's been a whirlwind of a month. Talking about the youth over in Leon, you know, looking at our three boys and the paths that I even made this big so I can read it through tears, and it's still not working very well. This is why the whole up close is not so grand, you know? Anyway. So, each of them are definitely doing new chapters. And some of this past seem really easy in that they are marked out in a step-by-step path. And keeping to that path will be challenging, but it's relatively clear. Others of them have known what they need to do, but they're branching out to make things occur for themselves. And it's been challenging, and the future is still hazy on how it's all going to come together. And as a mom to those different challenges, part of my struggle has been to lay down the worry and the anxiousness of how it's all coming together. And so through it all, my heart for these young men would be that they keep pursuing the Father's heart, that they have a hunger and a thirst for how the Father wants to use them. so that they their good ideas come into alignment with his plans and purpose. And I say that because a lot of focus for those who are moving on, we listen to a lot of speeches and a lot of pep talks and a lot of encouragement, but it comes down to that hunger. It comes down to that craving and how you're actually going to fill it. Because as much as you love, as much as I love those boys, they've got to be the ones who are hungering and craving after the things of God. You can't do it for them. So, if only, right? Yeah, but it wouldn't be their walk of faith, right? Because we're in a different place than we were 10 years ago, thank you, Lord, our hunger and thirsting after God was in searching out our identities as sons and how that we may or may not coincide with what had been taught. So I can say there's been things that have come up that we've had to look at and say, okay, how does this correlate with what I knew? Do I need to change my perspective? Most of the time that was a yes, because God's always trying to shift us out of our traditions and our mentalities so that we can look at things from his perspective. So we were hearing that our spirit man had a simple way to overcome the soulish by giving our time to intercession in diverse tongues, and then how to interpret that into prophecy, and then setting our vision on the horizon of God's kingdom. So we were laying down line upon line the new mysteries God was offering at his table of grace, and in turn having to cut off and sacrifice our old way of thinking and our old way of processing our circumstances and how we were to function as those walking in sonship. And that really, that process never changes. That's always something that we should be doing, always something that we should be looking at, except it's usually more on a deeper level. You know, we've done the surface stuff, we function in a different place than we did 10 years ago. We look at things from a different perspective. Because now we're in this harvest period, a time that we've prayed for, that we've interceded for, and it's similar to when we stepped into the truth, yet we're now the ones delivering the message and stoking the fires for those who would come alongside and walk in tandem with us. The difference is the hunger and the application of truth, right? South America is on fire because of the hunger and application of what has been given. They've taken it and not just said, that's a really good idea, but they've applied it to their lives, and it's created this inferno that they are actually going to be able to step into other countries, their surrounding Ontario. I mean, that's really what this is about. You know, we had to do it for us here in Florida, in Port St. John, but now to see it happen over in, or down in South America, and on a real-time facet of, you know, we're having prayer groups and they're getting visions and they're aligning with the seven spirits of God and they're able to interpret those and actually, you know, give prophetic words. And it's like, you know, they're now no longer just those being taught, but they're those coming alongside and they can actually teach. And that's what sonship's all about. So we're walking in, you know, discipleship 101. And yet it's not been without its challenges. You know, they've had setbacks that we experience. They've had sicknesses befall them. They've had things that they've had to, overcome and yet still push through, even when it looked like everything was falling apart. And so God's moving among the people there, and our intercession helps fuel those who are now brothers and sisters in this walk. Leon is no different in this regard. The passion and hunger that have been reported are very similar. And it's that hunger for this truth, that it's not just a hunger for the next experience, the next feel-good moment with God, but it's actually a pursual of knowing him in an intimate manner. And that only comes when we spend that time on our face before the Father. Um, And in truth, it's all been timing of the Lord. I mean, 18 years ago when they went into Leon, that's what they were hoping for. And God was like, eh, not yet. You were faithful in what you were supposed to do. This needs to germinate. And so we were, you know, the network moved into other places. You know, we don't know the mind of the Lord, but his heart is for his people. And so we know that without a doubt.
I was just thinking about that. Of course, we don't know exactly, but you think about that remnant that was left there of the Deborahs that continued mm-hmm. to pray, continued to intercede, continued to stand on behalf of what the Father wanted, even though it was rejected by, you know, the leadership of their church. And they did that for 18 years, you know, and because of the spiritual hot place that is, and that it's so unique, as Pastor Ron was saying, it's unique from any other place they've been mm-hmm. in that what is ensconced there, that it perhaps took that laying down of a solid foundation through those Deborahs, through that remnant for 18 years to be able to come back and then have the powerhouse explosion of what happened. You know, and it couldn't have happened any other way. It's right. That God's economy works completely different from man's.
Correct. Oh, Dad has something to share.
Well, doesn't this exactly go along with the sower and the seed? I mean, we sow and someone else waters, and you can't make the seed grow. It has to germinate. It has to go through its processes. And so that process is different from all different nations. I mean, you know, the French have their way of processing things. The South Americans have their way of processing things. And the United States has their way of processing things. And it's all very different, but yet it is producing as God understands and knows it needs to. So it's a fascinating thing to watch, and it's very encouraging to know that God is truly bringing things along in his timing, and I'm enjoying his timing on this.
And it's, you know, we stand on this side of it and think, oh, this is so cool. But, you know, you figure that 18 years of toil was, man, is this going to take off? You know, I know what you've promised, Lord. And so we have to make sure that we're not shortchanging God just because it's taking longer than we anticipated.
Yeah, this is sort of funny. I noticed that in the last few weeks, a lot of nations have been coming to the Lord in droves from the grassroots level, even England. And they're the ones who thought they were in control of the world kind of thing. And it's not just five or six. I mean, there's lots of them in Asia. Everywhere, and in Russia too. And I try to post pictures of stuff that I see come online, but some of it doesn't even have pictures, just giving reports through every group, like the 700 Club, I mean, all kinds of groups. But anyhow, all that being said, what you're talking about, that timing, what he's talking about, the seed, and you know, she was saying God knows. Mm-hmm. He's the one orchestrating. And here you are, going to encourage us in this boldness that we're supposed to be in, right? Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, you said the timing and everything. Isn't it like we're syncing up? Isn't that what the end times scream of, is being synced up with what God's doing in the shortness of time that Jesus always refers to? You know, the time is now, the time is now.
Right.
To me, it seems like that understanding is taking a whole new meaning in the spirit realm of the time is now being made real into the earthly realm. And that took a long time, 2000 years.
Right, right. And it's interesting because, you know, what really brought me to this point of hunger is, and thinking about it, is the messages I've heard lately, they get right up to the edge and then they stop. And they quit, and they don't give a solution. And so it's, you know, it makes me want to stand up and go, but there's a spirit aspect of it that you can totally submit to. And if you hunger after God and you're in intercession, then this other stuff becomes so minimal that you can really just hand it aside and not worry about it. And when I talked to the gentleman who had given the message, he was like, well, he's like, yeah, that's true. And I'm like, but that's the point. That's the whole, you know, that's what makes it even. That's what shows you that it's not impossible to tame your soul and your emotions and your thought processes. And so, you know, my prayer for these young people that are coming into new decisions and new territories is that not only do they hunger for, you know, because they're all hungering to find their place, to carve out a place for them where they can flourish and find their tribe. But you can only do that on so many levels in the natural. If you're not willing to go deeper in the spiritual, you end up doing a lot of silly things that are unnecessary. But I agree, you can't give what you don't have. And so that's why I want more for our youth. I want them to have more than just I love Jesus, because I love Jesus is great. But unless you're spending time with him and submitting who you are to him, he can't do much but sit there and go, hey, yeah, let's go. Do you want to come this way? I mean, that's really, anyway. So I went to Matthew 5:6, which is the first scripture on your sheet. And it says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. We are well off when we hunger and thirst after the right standing with the Father, and that we shall have an abundance of what we need to go forward in the grace set before us. That's really what that scripture's saying. You know, hunger, we use this word often, and the Bible uses it as well. So what is that hunger? What do we fuel it with? And how do we satiate it? Biblically, it's in reference to suffer to be hungry. It can indicate a famine or being famished. You know, physically, it's your hormones that signal that our bodies need more fuel to complete tasks. I think in America, it's something we do as a social get together. You know, we get together, let's eat. You know, or you know, we have snacks for watching games, and we have snacks for hanging out, and so it becomes more of a social thing that we do rather than something we do because we have a need. I'm reminded of this little lady that I cleaned for, and bless her heart, she couldn't eat anything. So she had to be fed through her stomach. And so it was just Ensure and vitamins and stuff, but it wasn't. So every time we got to the holidays, I would open my mouth and insert my, so what do you have plans for Thanksgiving? Well, no, I can't really eat. And I'm like, oh, well, you get to enjoy family. But you just realize all our holidays are built around eating. And when that's taken away, you know, it becomes, you know, well, what's the point of getting together? You know, it's one of those things, like you have to move beyond just the feast. Yeah, the circus. So in our recent fasting for the work God laid out for us, you have may felt yourself hungry because you've given up something or fasted from something. And yet the difference between hungering because of lack of food and hungering because we were sacrificing for the eternal will of the Lord have different effects, because it's not just our physical bodies, but it's our spiritual focus. You know, when we're hungering for, you know, we're sacrificing because we're doing what God's asked us to do. The hunger is there, the pain is there, but you know, it's like, okay, I'm going to take that hunger and push it aside and use that time to pray. And that's that force of making us, oh, I think I want something. Oh, nope, nope, I'm fasting, so let me go pray. I mean, that's that trigger for us to continue to realize that we've actually given that up to focus on what God wants to do. And in the physical, when we're hungry, we have two choices, right? We can satisfy what we believe we crave, or satisfy what's actually good for us. And we've got to be careful that in our hunger, we choose those things of substance that will provide long-term fuel for our bodies. And now that, I mean, you know, substance isn't always easy. It's not an easy fix or a quick attainable thing, because you've got to have the time. You've got to have the resources. It can be, you might have all the ingredients, as my daughter likes to call us. We have an ingredient house, but not those quick, you know, grab something, throw it in the microwave, and boom, food. And so if your meat's all frozen, right? So, you know, eating well, or eating things that are going to actually give you fuel, it takes planning and looking ahead. And so too many times we force ourselves into quick bites, but they're empty. And then we wonder why we don't have the energy to go on, or we don't have the stamina, or why we feel like we have to snack all day because we haven't really sat down and had a proper portion of protein and things that fuel us. So I found that in my own choices, I've gotten more attuned to what my body needs. And so the things that I thought, oh, this will be fun to have as a little snack, I'm like, oh, I haven't touched that. I don't really crave that. Like, that's there. I don't really want it. And so you can train your body to want certain things. And we've all done that, in a sense, whether intentionally or not. So when we fast in the spiritual aspect, it's an inconvenience, but not because we're focused on denying ourselves, but rather because we're spending that time in intercession. I think it's great that God sets aside 4 months out of the year so that we can actually focus on fasting, because life just gets busy. It just, if nothing else, this month has been one of those, it was just busy. And you found yourself just thinking, all right, what do I have to do to survive this next week? Whether it was plan meals, make sure you're ready for the next big event, have the clothes clean, make sure that, you know, everyone has what they need to be successful. I think if we don't allow our spirit men to crave that fasting, that point of craving after the Father, that we can actually regulate that to the back burner while we let things of the world take precedence over our minds, our focus, and our vision. And so we stop making it about what Father's trying to reveal to us because we get so caught up in our day. And I think it's just like a slowly become less attuned to anticipating what God's doing, because we're just trying to survive the next moment or the next thing coming. So in the season of grace and supplication, how do we remain hungry for the things of the Father and yet full? Because I really believe that, you know, as Carmen pointed out, there are things happening all over the world. And our little scope of what we're doing is only going to get bigger and broader, which means more of us have to step up and be those who are willing to teach, those who are willing to go, those who are willing to do. And so, interestingly enough, I came across this verse talking about Saul and David. And so, in Acts 13:22, it says, "And when he had removed him, Saul, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom he also gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will." And we know about these two. David was labeled at a young age by the Father as one who hungered after his heart. Saul was picked from the smallest tribe of Israel, the Benjamites, and yet he was good. God declared him gooder than everyone else in the land. Gooder. If we can believe King James, you know. Because in the beginning, his heart was to follow after the Father, and he was truly humble in how he was going to do that. But Saul was in a position that he'd never been in before. He was actually standing in the position that Father really wanted to be in. But because of the people's demands, he's like, you know what? You want a king? I will give you a king. And so Saul's job was to save the Israelites from the Philistines. Saul was to establish the kingdom. He was to lead the people in a way that provoked the people to seek the Father. And in the end, as we see in Acts 13:22, as you know the story, because of Saul's disobedience, the kingdom was ripped away, and his humility and meekness was what those attributes that he had were overridden by the pressure from the people and the wanting not to look like he'd messed up, wanting to look like he was powerful. And so rather than do what God asked him to do, he panicked and did his own thing. And so it's going to be imperative for us to not panic, even in the overwhelm, but to go, all right, Lord, you've provided everything for us to stand in these positions of acting as your kings. You know, we'll wait on you. And that's probably the hardest part, is the waiting. You know, 18 years is a very long time. I'm sure 99 years for Sarah was a very long time. You know, you look at the whole thing. Joseph, he was in his, 40s by the time he became king, and everything he went through, that was a very long time from when he was given those visions as a child. You know, God loves to make sure that we are in a place where we know that when we're promoted, it's because he's allowed it. And it's his authority that stands behind us, not we ourselves. David was one who was destined to establish tabernacles, and he was good at that. And he spent a lot of time surviving the king, surviving his king, who was really out to kill him. And he became very good, but he was very good at honoring authority. So something that was interesting as I was reading through my studies on the razor's edge is that when David became king, when he was transitioned from the that tabernacling and praising, and it came to, he was promoted in the role of kingship. In Jerusalem, he seemingly did not know what to do with himself when warfare came. So instead of conquering nations, his target was a willing Bathsheba. And that kind of hit me, and I was like, you know, that could be any of us. If we're not in a place where we're willing to transition ourselves, you know, we've been in that place of receiving from the Father, and we've done teachings here and there, but for the most part, we rely on, you know, directives that come from Dallas, not all of them, but there's a lot of them that go that way, and we just kind of, we're like, oh, yeah, we'll go with that. And I'm not saying that it'll always be that way, but when God decides to transition us as a, you know, who we are into something different, we need to be willing to be like, all right, Lord, just because I feel like I'm floundering and I don't know how to do this, I really need to make sure that I am fasting, that I am craving your directives and not all the good things that are crowding in my mind. And I think this quote from The Razor's Edge kind of puts it in perspective. Pastor Ron had said, if we do not recognize the necessity of seeking after God in our appointed place of service, our soulish and physical demands will search for other measures of refreshment and solace. These will provide some temporary rest, but will never yield the invigorating commune and supply found in hungering for God. So God's calling us to not grow weary in doing well, to continue to fight the good fight. Ministry trips and seminars for the time being are set in motion based on how God wants to move. And we don't need to sideline ourselves in this harvest time based on not hungering after the things of God. And I'm not saying it's not that we need not to pay bills or tend to families, but it's how we go about our times of commune to not grow stale in the routine and duty of it. Every point of prayer is opportunity to feed the hunger of the Lord. to be filled with his spirit that will fill us up to the brim and then overflowing. Just as when Elijah encouraged the widow, bring in all your pots. And they were filled until God said, you know, it's done. So there's never a point of, I know in the natural we have, oh, can't wait for vacation, can't wait for this time off. I know for those of us who have children in school, summertime is lovely because the homework load disappears completely. And so you don't feel like you are having to, hey, did you get this done? Hey, did you get this done? Hey, what do you have? You know, have you studied for this test? And so a lot of that disappears, which is lovely. But at the same time, in the spirit, that doesn't happen. God doesn't say, ha, good job in Leon, good job being faithful. Okay, we'll see you in a little bit. You know, that's, go have a rest. I'll talk to you later. I mean, that's not how, and sometimes I think unintentionally, that's how we function, because physically our bodies just, it becomes more pertinent than our spiritual. I think also as we're moved into new roles of responsibility, you know, we need to continue to be hungry for how God wants to move. The impossibility of our placements. So when our brains go, that's funny, okay, Lord. But really, when we're at that place of perceived weakness, that's when God can actually use us, because that's when his possibilities are brought forth. And even, you know, there's going to be people who, I'm not saying there's no need for me, like, oh, how do I say this? Excuse me. God wants to see his fruit flourish. He wants to see his kingdom flourish. And so Philippians 4, 12 through 13, the last scripture on your sheet, says, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And while that last verse sounds very familiar, being full and hungry, being filled with the Spirit of the Lord, but also craving the next word he has for you, is what I challenge, is to be hungry and full for what God wants to do in the coming weeks. We're ending this fifth month, but our work is still just beginning. If you found your perspective of doing your duty becoming routine, ask for the hunger to be what God desires in those moments of intercession instead. That's all I have. But go ahead, Dad.
Okay. I was just getting a vision of what it means to be full and hungry. Unless you make the foundation complete and make it full, you can't receive more. You can't go higher. So there has to be a fullness of where you stand before you can receive what is prepared to be laid down on top of that. So we have to be full. We have to be complete. We have to be ready to function in a complete way, so that when the new thing comes, our expertise is able to master the new thing. And so that is where our hunger comes in. Since we have completed where we are, since we have been functioning in a masterful way or in a significant way with the Father, we are looking to move forward, to be promoted. And that's, of course, grace. And God never allows the tail to wag the dog. He's always about bringing up that support, that infrastructure, the Spirit, so that what comes next can function as it was meant to, and creates that atmosphere of compliance, of fulfillment. So it's a great thing to see God's timing, And you're talking about length of time. It was, what, 400 years between the Old Testament and the New Testament. And all these people, I mean, there probably weren't very many who lived 400 years. There's a whole several generations that had grown up with the teachings of Moses and the perversion of those teachings, and that had made them absolutely lost. And when Jesus came, he said, I have come for the lost sheep. I've come to reestablish their identity. I have come to reestablish the foundation of who they were supposed to be so that they can receive what the new thing is coming. So that's a powerful lesson that you've given us.
Thank you. Well, and you've got the remnant of, you know, the two who blessed Jesus on his, when he was in the temple. I mean, so there were people who got it. They saw him and they were like, oh, this is the Messiah. This is who we've been waiting for. So
I was just thinking, it's the whole principle of the Sabbath, the full and hungry. I mean, that's, you have that 7 days that you're bringing that fulfillment of whatever the last point of grace that the Father showed you was. And that seventh day, as we know, rest isn't about just sitting back and putting your feet up. It's being with an expectation of moving forward into the new thing for that next week. Even when Jesus, or even when God, you know, created and then he rested, it wasn't, I'm doing nothing. It's, I've brought my creation to a point of fullness. And now with eager anticipation that it's going to partner with me in a new creative way, we're preparing to move forward in that eighth day of the new thing. And so it's like, even though God is always full because he's all encompassing, he demonstrated that aspect of being full, and yet the hunger, that anticipation, the desire to move in a new creative way. You know, he determined he was going to limit himself to partnering with man in that capacity. And so then you figure there's just as much excitement on God's part, just like when we see new sons get it and move forward, for us to get what he's been seeding into us and move forward in the new thing in a new creative capacity.
And I think that's really where Leon is right now. I mean, they've been launched forth. So where they've culminated in this past week, it will be launched forth into the surrounding nations. Well, their Ontarios and how they stand in that.
And the end result of being full and remaining hungry is that verse 13, which is that little tiny word do, which just seems like something that just means, all right, well, I can just accomplish a whole bunch of stuff. It's really iskuo, which it means to exercise the iskus power, which is on the same level of the arche. So basically, if I remain full and yet still hungry for more of what God has and keep that really stoked in my own spirit, then I'm going to be able to function on the RK level to ignite and to establish the original intent of what God had in mind.
And then you're not going out in your own power, but you're going forth in the power of the Father. And so we don't end up like the sons of Sceva.
Yeah.
So absolutely. Well, thank you guys for your input. So go be hungry and full.